You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back for hour number three on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're ranking all non-Kiss-related concerts for the next hour, so buckle your seatbelt. We'll get some baseball in.
If you've never seen them live, you're missing something.
All right, I'll give it a shot. At some point in my life, I'm in a.
They're
concert
widely
rut
regarded
right now
as one of the top live acts of all time.
I respect your opinion on it, and I have not experienced it, so I can't comment on it accurately. But they are widely regarded as the consummate showman. So Stone Temple Pilots I saw live about 20 years ago, and that was incredible. I've seen some really good acts along the way. But
I saw the Foo Fighters at Citi Field a few years ago. They were really good.
That's a good one. I'm trying to see them this summer, actually.
Dave Navarro had a broken leg and he was playing
Dave
on the
Grohl.
Throne.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl. Yes, I do remember that. And they are one
very
of my favorite
though.
Bands, which is why I'm trying to see them this summer. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about baseball. And obviously the big story, we're going to talk fantasy baseball. We'll get into the FSTA draft in a minute or in the next segment. But the big news, obviously, Corey, the Marlins continue the purging of all their major league players. The entire outfield is gone now. Ozuna, Stanton, obviously, in New York. And now Christian Yelich, who is on a really good deal contractually for the Brewers, goes over to the Brewers. He's added to Lorenzo Cain in the outfield for Milwaukee. And they get four prospects back in Miami, including the Brewers' number one prospect in Lewis Brinson. So, we're going to have to start taking a look at what these players are going to do in these new spots. But the Brewers have a new outfield in less than a week with Yelich and Cain.
A lot to unpack here. Brewers would more than likely need to make a trade to bring in some pitching. So trade from that outfield depth to go get a starter. Also, hearing reports that Yu Darvish could be a Brewer. So they're going for it. They're making a push for it, playing in that division with the Cubs. We'll see how it plays out.
Scott, since Stanton was looked at as maybe not getting enough and more of a salary dump, do you feel like they availed themselves well in this trade and getting Lewis Brinson?
I think they certainly did because the complaints about the Marlins is some of these players that they've gotten back in these trades have not been enough to give the franchise hope for the future. Brinson, didn't show a lot of plate discipline last year, but he's got instant 20-20 potential. I don't think he hits over 250 this year, though, and he actually could hit low in this batting order. But, that was the piece that they had to get it done. Everybody's ripping the Marlins, but I think one thing you have to remember is they were not winning with all the money that they're paying these guys. And people in South Florida are only going to come out if this team is clearly winning, and they were not. There were not people coming out to see them, even when they had Stanton and Yelich and everybody else. So they're going to tear it down and build it up and try to do it in their own vision. But maybe they should have got better minor leaguers back in the process.
Yeah, I mean, they are really blowing it up. They're taking it all the way down to the ground and building it back up. We'll talk a little bit about where they stand now. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that and the Stros and more after the break.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Roto Experts, and if you want to hit us up on Twitter, tell us your favorite concert that you went to. We talked about that. That's a good topic that Pete and those guys have going on later today on the producers from 2 to 4. Could spark some good discussion, spark some discussion here on our show. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio, about whatever you want, football, baseball, basketball, concerts. I'm at Mike Blewett. Corey is at The Fantasy Exec. That's EXEC. And Scott Engel is at Scott E. Roto X. We're going to be talking about, well, first of all, rest of the day, we're here till 12. Weekend Fantasy Update, 12 to 2. 2 to 4 is the producers. 4 to 6 is Fantasy Gold. Scott's Hall of Fame Hour is on at 8. I'm missing what's at 6 to 8 there. Maybe it's a replay of the show. I don't know.
It's old school fantasy. Old school fantasy.
Go. My bad. Old school fantasy.
With myself and Matt Medica.
There you go. So my bad, Corey. I left you.
Don't
out
worry
all
about
the
it.
Promotion.
I'm not Scott. I'm not going to be offended if you leave me off the schedule.
All right. Well, speaking of Scott and not being offended, we're going to talk some baseball here, but we have a ton of content coming down the pike already coming out and coming down the pike on rotoexperts.com. So tell people what they can get and where to find it, Scott.
Yeah, it's all great award-winning stuff that doesn't include Corey Parson. Right now, you can find great things like Frank Stampfl trying to find last year's gold, this year's gold among last year's trash. We have a great story from Doug Anderson, who's returned to the fold, very happy to announce the Roto Daddy is back with Roto Experts as an associate editor and senior writer. Middle relievers as sleepers, and also we have his breakdown of the Christian Yelich trade. Of course, we're keeping up on NBA with our new writer, Steve Tarone, talking about how Ben Simmons is a great DFS bargain this weekend. And also, we have some off-season fantasy football, etc. So lots of Roto Experts, including a new column from Brandon C. Williams called Around the Fantasy Watch. He talks about it that covers multiple sports, where the draft Saquon Barkley is a rookie, the new Madden Esports League, and even fantasy wrestling.
Well, good stuff. So you can find all that stuff on rotoexperts.com. So let's start with that Marlins trade. Obviously, we gave you a quick highlight. The players they got, Lewis Brinson is the highlight player. They got three of the top 14 Brewers prospects. So that's a pretty good haul. Now, Yelich is under a very attractive contract here for the next few years. So that is why they had to pay such a high price. The thoughts are that they are going to get rid of Starlin Castro potentially as well and JT Realmuto. But I read recently, Scott, that JT Realmuto to the Nats is a possibility, but the Nats want, or rather the Marlins want, the Nats' number one prospect. And that might
be. Yeah, they want Victor Robles, 21 years old, the number one prospect in Washington's system. Great pop, great speed, but yeah, they question his maturity. Like, if you get the new fantasy baseball guide, which includes a lot of guys from the industry. Some of the top experts, like Patrick DeVitt of Baseball HQ, actually saw Robles playing in the Arizona Fall League and said this guy was a real maturity problem. You know, he wasn't even hustling, and they had to pull him out of a game. So, there's questions about, his maturity, but he is only age 21. The skill set is definitely there. As far as Realmuto goes, very unique skill set for a catcher with speed. He wants out of Miami. He's the latest to want out of Miami. If they were able to get Victor Robles, it would show that the Marlins really have another solid building block here.
Yeah, right now, the Marlins are ranked, and I was just reading Keith Law's ranking of all 30 farm systems. I was reading this yesterday and today. Right now, they rank 28th, according to his. This is Keith Law from ESPN.com. He's a well-respected scout ranker of minor league systems, developmental systems. He says right now they're 28th, and that's before they got that. Last year they were 29th. And he had them ranked dead last before these series of trades that came through. They may even move up a little bit more after this Yelich trade. But you had these players that they were paying a lot of money to where nobody was showing up. They weren't making the playoffs. And the farm system was one of the worst. So I think the obvious strategy is, as Scott said, they're trying to blow the whole thing up. It's not dissimilar to what the Astros did. And it took the Astros some time, but it resulted in a World Series in not a tremendous amount of time. And it took 5-6 years to get this thing turned around. But anybody would do that if they could get a World Series at the end of it. Right, Corey?
Yeah, obviously, if that's the situation, if that's what you're trying to do, if that's what the goal is, it may not look like the correct thing to do on you know, it's such a controversial method, but like you said, if that could be the end, if that could be the end all, that it actually works. So we'll see how it plays out.
I mean, I just see so many people hammering Jeter, and I'm not defending him because I'm a Yankees fan. I'm just, from my standpoint, like, what are they keeping guys around for? So that people, the people that don't show up will say that they'll show up, Scott?
Well, they had a town hall with the Marlins season tickets holders recently, and it surprised me that there were 200 of them. I thought that was like, you know, 10 times more than I thought they would have. And they said to Jeter, you know, why did you tear this down? You know, we were just a player or two away from making the playoffs. And I think what he said was very, very insightful. He said, you know, this is, you just can't throw more money at a problem and expect it to go away. You know, like we've been saying all along, they paid these guys a lot of money and they didn't even make the playoffs. And in South Florida, nobody's going to come out unless you're absolutely winning here. So they need to restock the minor league system, even if it's not with some blue chip type of prospects. And, you know, they got to start winning at the lower levels first before they can start winning at the upper levels. You know, not all of these guys are going to be Lewis Brinson, but they're all going to play roles, et cetera. You know, it's going to take a long time, probably not longer than the Astros. But, you know, this team still has a bunch of new ballpark that they're probably paying a lot of money on, et cetera. And this is a business, first and foremost. And this team wants to become profitable, and you're not becoming profitable. When you look at the size of the contracts they were paying, they've got rid of over $300 million in contracts. Why are you going to pay guys over $300 million if you're not winning and you're not drawing fans? Everybody's reactionary. They want to contend now. It's not going to happen.
So I'm going to come back to you on, since we're talking about Yelich, and that's what we led with. Do you think his trade to Milwaukee impacts him positively, negatively, stays the same? In the FST industry draft right now, which is a 14-teamer, I believe, he went 1, 2, 3, beginning of the fourth round. So 42, top 45 players, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a good move for him with a little bit of upside, but I think we at age 26, we haven't seen the best of Yelich just yet. You know, a lot of baseball people and even opposing players I've spoken to say this guy's a future batting champ. It wouldn't surprise me if he hit 300 this year. The Brewers like to run. The top team is sort of stealing bases. This is a better hitter's park. So I think you could see something like, it wouldn't shock me to see 300, 22, 28, something like that as a projection for Christian Yelich. We may have not seen the best of him as a pure player just yet. He continues to improve. You know, he mentioned how Barry Bonds actually helped him as a hitting coach. And, you know, we've seen the power the last 2 years. And I think there is a little bit more upside for him in Milwaukee.
I mean, and it's also, Corey, a remade lineup with Lorenzo Cain signing there. I saw a stat. God, what was it? Oh. The Brewers are going to have Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich for about $146 million for the next 4 to 5 years, I think it is. The Cubs have Jason Hayward for $184 million.
Yeah, it looks
they
like
get
the
Cain and Yelich,
Brewers,
the Cubs have Hayward.
Like, yikes. Hayward's a hell of a defensive Hayward's a hell of a defensive player. But
that's what everybody says to defend the guy. I begrudge no one for making that kind of money, but man,
no, of course not. That's
an odd looking contract.
He was able to get it. Good for him. When you look at the situation with that Yelich is in, though, it's a possible 2020 guy in that new ballpark with a 300 batting average. So, I think he moves up. I think his value goes up around a round and a half with this. So he's going to play that people are getting excited about.
And Scott, how about on the other side of things? Lewis Brinson for 2018. You have expectations here. Playing time is going to be in his future.
Well, yeah, he's going to be the starting center fielder. Excellent defensive player who makes a lot less than Jason Hayward. This guy is 20-20 potential, but I don't expect him to hit more than 255 out of the gate.
Still, you know, nearly a 20th round pick in this draft. You might have a late sleeper right there. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Shook me up with that concert talk earlier. And I've been like running through all the good concerts I've been to.
I'm sitting here thinking about the same thing. Mike, I'm literally sitting here thinking about the same thing. I'm thinking about a night at a concert that I had.
Trying to do a sports talk show, and yeah. I'm trying to think of all the concerts I went to. But I've seen Pearl Jam. I've seen Dave Matthews 15 times. I saw an awesome Dave Matthews show at Roseland, the old venue that's no longer
the old around. Roseland, wow.
Yeah. And he did. It was like his smallest show that he'd done in many years. So it was a very cool venue, a cool place to see it. Pearl Jam.
I saw Destiny's Child as teenagers when they were like.
I was going to say when they were the original four.
When they were the original
four, Destiny's Child.
Corey doesn't remember any songs from that show.
Let me see. You made me want to throw my pager out the window.
He was just looking at him.
Beyonce actually fell on stage at that concert, so this goes to show you how long ago this was.
Should have helped her out.
I saw Living Color play. I saw Living Color play a club date once. It was very good.
Was that like Living an Color? Intense, like a mosh pit kind of show though? Because that's how they were.
No, not really.
No,
I don't remember any moshing at that show, but it was pretty cool actually. So Aerosmith, they were pretty good.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I've seen the Rolling Stones. I mean, that was a pretty big act, right? So the Stone Temple Pilots show that I went was really intense, and they came out. Scott, you'll appreciate this. They came out with Kiss masks on as an homage.
I remember reading about that show. Yeah,
I was at that show. It was also at Roseland, and. I wouldn't say I was a huge Stone Temple Pilots fan before I saw that show, but I became a huge one as a result of it. And it was a really intense mosh pit kind of show, which I didn't love but at all. And I made sure to in future shows that were like that to be in the back and not be involved in the fray. But, yeah, he's getting punched and kicked and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I used to work in Madison Square Garden when I was in college.
Really?
And I didn't get to see a lot of concerts, but I got to hear a lot of them. And it was very sad to hear this week that Neil Diamond, you know, developed Parkinson's. Yes. And when I worked at Neil Diamond, I would always listen to it. He'd put on a great show. Billy Joel, Madonna, you know, I got to work in all kinds of different genres. Bits and pieces, like, I caught Prince, like, right around the time of Purple Rain. You know, that was fantastic. And then Sheila E. came on stage, and that was just great.
That's good stuff. Yeah. My mom's a huge fan of Neil Diamond, so that is sad news. And I hope he doesn't suffer. Right? It's a brutal disease, and it is sad to hear stuff like that. So, yeah, Corey, I don't know if you had any other concert memories, but that's the stuff I've been thinking about during the break.
I went to see at the Apollo Theater probably about 6 months before his death, I saw the Notorious B.I.G. He was if you remember the story, he was in, this is the time when he was in the wheelchair after the car accident. So it was Notorious B.I.G. and Junior Mafia. They closed the show. That was an amazing show. And Apollo being such a small venue, they closed the show with Lil' Kim that night. Jay-Z was on that show, and the Mobb Deep did Shook Ones, and it might have been, I've never seen a scene like that before.
That's crazy. Those are good memories. I know we've seen some good concerts. I'm sure some of you out there. Have seen some incredible
Queen Latifah as well. Play in Flushing Meadow Park before she became popular.
How about that?
Yeah. Queen's Day. They still have the festival every year, and Queen Latifah was playing on a big stage. Like
that was during De La Soul.
I also saw, remember Exposé?
No.
Barely.
Remember Exposé, the dance act? I saw them play in a club right before they hit big, too.
I saw De La Soul in the cafeteria at my college. You want to talk about a small show? It was like a couple of hundred people, maybe. At Boston College, De La Soul, I was so excited, and there just was not a lot of people on campus that went to see it. So they were just doing like probably a college tour and just probably hitting multiple colleges in a given weekend, doing probably a couple of shows a night, just hustling, and it was a lot of fun. So
how about that?
Go ahead.
Angle seen at Exposé at that dance club. That was the Scotty Love era. That was the original Kango Scott.
Yeah. You know I saw once? It was great. I saw the Temptations and the Four Tops together.
You've seen a lot, Scott.
That's a good one.
Not as much as I'd like.
As a Met fan, you ain't seen much championships.
Bring it back to sports.
It's all about loyalty. You wouldn't know that as a basketball fan, though, would you? But there's a lot of acts I still want to see. I saw Lionel Richie in Madison Square Garden. I'd like to see him again. I'd like to see Tears for Fears. Those are like two acts. I never caught Tears for Fears live. I'd love to catch them. And sometimes Billy Ocean plays like small clubs and stuff like that. I'd like to go check
Tears for Fears is still around?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
And my son's always wanted to go see Metallica. I'd go with him to check that out.
So I've heard that they are one of the greatest acts ever. I know people that are not huge metal fans, but they said if you go see a show, you'll see how good they are because they've just super professional musicians that have been playing together for decades. So anyway, let's bring it back to baseball. And we'll even talk the XFL in the next segment too. I want to get these guys' thoughts on Vince McMahon and whether or not he can make this thing work. But a little bit about the draft that's ongoing, FSTA draft. It's a slow draft. It is going to be, when it's all said and done, 29 rounds. It is 14 teams. Some of the industry's top names like Jim Bowden and Anthony Perry, Ray Flowers, and all these guys. What?
Nothing.
I can't drop to you guys.
No, I know. I hear you name dropping Jim Bowden. I just tickled a little bit by that. Oh, he does a great job. I like to hear Jim Bowden talk baseball.
Got it.
So, this draft though has been going on for about 8 months. It seems like I've just watched this board. Like they still ain't finished this thing yet.
Clock.
It's the way they've done
really
it.
Generous clock.
They did the first 8 rounds online, then they did like the next 10 in person, and now they're going back to slow draft mode online for, the rest of it.
So the
a Matt Deutsch creation.
Yeah, there you go. So that's why it is. That's why it's confusing. So Guru Elite, Jeff Manns, and Ted Schuster, they come out of the gate. They're just going power. Right out of the gate, they go Stanton and Judge back to back. So that is I'm not saying it's wrong, strategy.
And they took Luis Severino in the fourth. He's going all Yankee there.
Yeah.
Also, they took Miguel Sano in the fifth. They're going to regret that. I think Miguel Sano, if you've read the allegations against Miguel Sano, very disturbing. I think Miguel, I'm not going to be wrong, Major League Baseball has a very powerful union, the most powerful union in professional sports. Hell, maybe the most powerful union in the United States. But Major League Baseball union is going to have a tough time fighting this one. Those Sano allegations are terrible. I could see him missing the entire season.
Yeah, plus he's coming off a big injury, too.
So anybody that – I mean, the first round, Scott, is usually never, to me, never all that surprising. You're going to see some guys – Trey Turner goes fifth. I'm sure plenty of people would have guys ranked in front of Trey Turner, but RotoWire went with – it's Derek Van Riper – went with Trey Turner. And speaking of back-to-back Yankees, on one side, he went – Trey Turner backed it up with Steven Strasburg and Gary Sanchez. So how do you feel that Trey Turner is going to settle in most drafts? Maybe he's a little higher in this one than others because Derek Van Riper's taking a risk.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him go at this spot or even a spot before because, you know, you're talking about production across the board with some speed here. And, you know, speed is a much more valued commodity because, you know, there's a school of thought now that you can get so many guys to hit 25 homers that speed is more scarce than it used to be. And with the numbers kind of across the board that you get with Turner, plus you get the speed. I mean, you look at the kind of guys in the first round and, you know, even guys like Nolan Arenado is not going to give you that kind of speed.
Yeah, he had 46 stolen bases in 98 games last year and not even 500 plate appearances. So he's got elite speed, obviously, and we'll be looking to see. I mean, he got hurt last year, so it would have been, the numbers would have been spectacular. They were good, but they would have been spectacular had he stayed healthy. But Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant, Manny Machado falls to the second round. He was a consensus first-round guy last year, so he obviously had a miserable first half, but backed it up with a pretty good second half, Corey. So is he a guy that you're taking a look at? He wasn't bad last year, but the first half killed him.
Especially where he's going right now. I think if I'm in a 12-team or even a 15-team league, I want to be at the back end of drafts in baseball this year. You get to get one of those starters if you want to, or you can get a guy like a Lindor or somebody that Carlos Correa, that falls down to that area. And you can double up. You can come out of a first round with guys like Manny Machado and Freddie Freeman, something like that. I think you can get a good, real good start at the back of that first round, so I'm with it.
I mean, Scott, I won my
league. People don't
want
to hear I'm at the end of the first round. It's like you're the first guy to pick a second player.
Yeah. I mean, Scott, I won my league last year with Manny Machado, and during those struggles, I was getting the worst trade offers ever, and I just stayed patient, and it ended up working out, even though he had a disappointing season. I mean, I just think he's a guy that I would expect him to have a season more like he did 2 years ago than the one that he had last year. Does that make sense?
Especially with that money on the line.
You got to be patient. You know, it's a long season with these guys. Slumps at any time of the year.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk maybe a little bit more baseball in the XFL on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Sports Radio Network. Kind of up at 12. It's the weekend fantasy update, so that's about 20 minutes away as we head towards the end of the show. One thing I did want to highlight, Frank Stanfill's article, which you can find on rotoexperts.com. He's finding fantasy baseball sleepers amid last season's trash. A couple of guys he highlights here. Scott, Johnny Cueto threw just 147 innings last year. Had a rough inning, his lowest total since 2013 when he made only 11 starts. He suffered from blisters last year, 4.5 ERA, brutal whip and walk rate. He's given up home runs at a higher rate than he has in the past. But Frank's thought is if he can stay a little bit healthier here, he could be a guy. He got him recently in a draft as the 35th starting pitcher off the board. So you can get him late, and his historicals may come back a little bit closer to where he was. Even if he's not as dominant as he once was, Johnny Cueto could be a guy that you're looking at as a steal.
Yeah, I would say, you know, this is a good tabbing here for a rebound kind of season. The guy's never going to be a super elite pitcher again. You know, we saw some really good seasons when he was in Cincinnati and we was in a hitter's park here. And you have to like the environment in San Francisco. You know, he's going to rebound this year. Last year was really all about health. He was never able to get in the groove. The velocity really didn't suffer. So I kind of like Cueto as a guy that can rebound. I think San Francisco is an organization that going to rebound here. I think, you know, this is a team that kind of demands results. You know, one of the best teams of this century so far, one of the best organizations of this century. And I think, you know, the fact they're holding on to Cueto and, you know, they're expecting some better production from him. I really think it was all about the blisters last year.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Made some good bones in fantasy baseball when Johnny Cueto was really good. And, you know, I kind of banked on him for several years in a row. And I tend to be a believer more than not. Anyway, I just wanted to highlight that. You can find that Frank's article on rotoexperts.com right now, Finding Fantasy Baseball Sleepers Amid Last Season's Trash. It's a common theme for Frank in the way he's drafting, and that's just one article of many, as Scott mentioned earlier, that you can find on Roto Experts. So, Corey, let's switch topics, and we'll recap our polls and our predictions in the final segment, but I wanted to talk because it was big news 2 days ago with Vince McMahon's announcement that the XFL will come back into business in 2020. Obviously, the last time around, it failed spectacularly, but it was also as a result of them rushing the league to a broadcast deal and trying to put it in front of people quickly. Now, he's got a couple of years to put this thing together. You think he's got a shot to do it the right way?
Talent is going to be paramount, obviously. If you can get the right talent in there, he'll get a good TV deal. He'll get the right talent in there, guys that can play. Don't make the game a novelty where, you know, players can put their own whatever they want to put on their back of the jerseys. You know, they had that foolish thing with the kickoff where you throw the ball down the field and two players run to see who get the ball.
Yeah, one guy separated his shoulder doing it.
Before the game even started. before the first game of the season, the guy separates his shoulder. So that goes to show you where it was going from there. If he can nail those down, get a strong TV deal, get the good talent in there, keep the game as not a novelty act, make safety paramount, then fantasy football will come. And if fantasy football comes, then he could be working with something.
Scott, do you think some people suggest that the NFL suffers from oversaturation from their multiple nights a week primetime games? Do you think that the XFL would suffer because of what people perceive to be oversaturation of professional football?
And look, any league other than the NFL is never going to survive or succeed. The only reason why the USFL was able to compete for a little while is because it was signing NFL-type players. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how you market it, whatever rules you put in. These are not the best players in the world. These are guys who are going to be not good enough to make the NFL. Guys who are on the fringe in the NFL and maybe want to play here more. In the end, I don't care how you dress it up. Who's going to want to watch in the end Thad Lewis hand off to Matt Asiata? I'm not seeing it. There's only 8 teams, so they're trying to maybe condense the talent pool more, but it's not the NFL. There is not a league outside the NFL that has ever been able to survive or succeed over an extended period. It's not going to happen. The XFL is going to be gone after a few years.
Do you think you don't think there's an appetite to watch more football, even at a lower level? not dissimilar to watching minor league baseball or a lower level of baseball, if that's the appetite you have at the moment. Like, I go to see minor league baseball games. I know it's not the best, but, you know, it's fun for me to take in the game when I go with my family. Do you see it, there being any opportunity similar to that for people maybe just sitting around and watching a lower level of football?
It's already been out there. You know, when you're talking about you or maybe me like to go watch minor league baseball because that's where a core audience. This is not going to survive with the masses. There's already been the Arena Football League. Teams fail year after year and they fold. It's already been out there. We've had the World League of American Football. You know, we've had all kinds of leagues that have tried to hit and they're going to miss. It's not going to happen. The real reason why the NFL is so successful is because every game is like an event and there's not enough of it. Giving more with a lesser talent pool is not going to be the answer. And who cares who wins out of eight teams based off a bunch of NFL practice squatters?
I'm actually surprised he's going for it again, Corey. Are you?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's going for it too. Scott makes a lot of good points. We've not seen anything besides the NFL be successful. I mean, outside of major college football. So I wouldn't have did it again. He's going to take a bath.
I think so too. I mean, he'll probably have, you know, I mean, he doesn't need any investors. He can front the league by himself. I'm surprised he's going for it.
He owns all eight. He's going to own all eight teams.
Yeah. Interestingly, Emory Hunt, who we had on in the previous hour, he wrote an article that I'm going to tweet out so you all can check it out. I'll try and put it out when we tweet out his interview that we did earlier today. But he happened to write an article. It was a speculative article about what it would look like to have an NFL developmental league, a G League type league for the NFL, which, you know, in some instances, I shouldn't say in some instances, it's not the right wording, but to some degree, I think is necessary because we see a breakdown in offensive line play. We see a lot of players struggling with fundamentals in a way that they didn't previously. We talked about the Big 12 and players playing in different styles of systems earlier. There's a reason that a higher amount of SEC and ACC players stick in the league because they are taught a pro style of football, and the coaches at the NFL level appreciate that. But Emory had some really good points. You have a 53-man roster with about 10-man practice squads. It's effectively a 63-man roster that teams are managing. Each training camp, they're bringing in 90 guys. So those, and some of those guys end up making NFL rosters despite them getting cut because of the sheer amount of injuries that occur, right? So in any given year, you have 63 to 70 players or so on a given NFL team. Is that math fair enough with IRs and all that?
Yep.
It is, but it's taking what used to be the World League of American Football and making it in season. The World League, they used to send guys to the World League during the offseason in an Arizona Fall League kind of way to kind of drum up their game. And, you know, it didn't survive. I think it makes sense from a personnel perspective, but
yes.
I think like even the Arena League used to have a developmental league called the AFL too.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you put those in some smaller towns and stuff like that, and
that's right,
you know, minor league type ballparks and stuff like that. Yeah, that would make more sense to me than the XFL.
Yes, me too. That's where I was going with it. I think Emory's idea, and other people have floated it out, it would help the NFL because you'd have a conduit between the guys that played in college and then just keep getting cut for 4 years, potentially develop those guys on a lower level, and ultimately feed them into the NFL system. It doesn't mean that that's going to be a pipeline similar to Major League Baseball. It wouldn't really work necessarily like that. But you can at least make it look similar to that. It's not like G Leaguers are taking the NBA by storm. You know, there's a couple of guys every year that make it because they've been developed well at a lower level. And I actually think it can really help players and the NFL to develop player skill sets and offensive lines and teaching guys constantly at that level. I think it it closes the gap between the players coming off the street and maybe not knowing fundamentals or assignments as well when they're in a particular team system, if that makes any sense.
No, it really does. It's just the talent level. You talk about the NFL developmental leagues. Mike, you nailed it. They have the ACC and SEC. Those are their developmental leagues, and they get them for absolutely free.
Yeah, but what happens to the guy that is an undrafted free agent, and he's in a camp, and he gets cut, and then he comes back to next year's camp, and he gets cut? Like, that guy is not developing at all. He's just working out.
I agree with you with that, and then maybe – it's just tough. Maybe this XFL is for those guys. That's what you want to see, because in that way you can see a situation where you could have a good level, maybe not the high level of play, but a good level of play. But it's going to be very tough to emulate what you see in the NFL on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis.
But I'm with Scott.
And I think that's
in that vein, it would be what the World League was.
Yeah, I think it's just a novelty. I'd rather it be sponsored by the NFL teams themselves and make it look as close to the league as possible. We'll come back, close out the show after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I've never seen Bruce Springsteen. I've probably had a million opportunities, and I don't know.
Me neither.
I don't know. I've never motivated myself to go see him. But
I've kind of felt that way. I've always felt like I don't get, you know, the whole passion about it. But then I hear that once people go to see him, it's just like such like a communal, overwhelming experience that it's even more than what's going on stage.
Yeah, so I'll give it a shot maybe at some point, but I feel like I absolutely should.
Well, you didn't grow up in Jersey, right?
No, I grew up in Queens, so I don't have like the added geographical pull. I'm a Jersey guy. Like I don't feel motivated to have to do that, but I probably should have seen him already. Anyway, I'm going to update you on the polls here in a minute. I accidentally closed out Twitter, but I will give you our predictions again. Scott has the Pats 24-20, and obviously we reserve the right to change. We'll go over this again next week when the Super Bowl is actually going to be played. So Scott says Pats 24-20. Corey says Pats 33-31. Barn burner there. I'm going to go 27-20 Pats. So I have them covering, but I'm going to give it some more thought because the Eagles have been so good on the line of scrimmage. I don't know that they'll let the Pats push down. That would be five scoring drives. I don't see that actually. I had it 23-20, but that's similarly five scoring drives. So I don't know. I'm going to have to figure this out. Don't you agree? The Eagles have been so good up front. I mean, they allowed 10 points to the Falcons and 7 to the Vikings, and they've really dominated the lines of scrimmage.
Those games were also at home.
I agree, but they're indoors. They're not going to deal with a climate. They're going to be dealing with an antiseptic crowd, which isn't noisy, and they're just going to do what they do.
We'll see. It's the Patriots.
I know.
I think it's a close game, though.
Patriots winning. Don't get me
wrong.
Corey
said he's not rooting for anybody, but I detect in his voice a lean towards New England.
A little bit.
I want to be able to say, to Philadelphia Eagle fans that you have not ever won a Super Bowl. I want to keep that tradition alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's going to change if the Patriots win.
I don't want the Patriots to say that they have six championships like Steelers.
They already have five, so.
It's not six, Scott.
It's one more.
It's one more.
The Steelers have the deal. So it doesn't matter. I'm not a Steelers fan, but they have the record. So I want them to continue to have the record.
Believe me, I want the very same thing.
I can see it from your perspective.
Yeah. So here's the poll updates. Patriots hosting the Eagles is 4.5 points favorite. What's your call? 46% of the fans out there, listeners out there, have the Patriots covering. 24% have the Eagles covering but losing, so expecting that tight game, as Corey has, and Scott too. Me too, but right now I have the Pats covering. 30% Eagles win outright. So pretty good distribution right there overall, but still almost a majority with the Pats covering. And then is anybody watching the Pro Bowl? You got 12% say it's football, isn't it? And 24% say it's on in the background. So that's 36% that are going to give it a watch. Another third say it's movie night, and another 27% are going to fall asleep after the NHL All-Star game. So that's it. 3 hours up, 3 hours down. Corey and Scott, you've been gentlemen and scholars all the way through. You guys have a good week.
Hey, you too, Michael. Do the same, my man.
So we'll come back. We'll be back here next week, same time as the Weekend Fantasy Update next. Thanks for listening on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, and all across the country. We're the Roto Experts. We'll be back next Saturday right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.